So we've been talking about holiness for the last several weeks, and I kind of been staying in the Old Testament. Today I'm going to move a little into the New Testament, but I can't help but I still have a little Old Testament in it. We've discovered that holiness is mostly relational. God has a purpose in it when he calls us to it. So today, as we talk about holiness and hot coals, I'll bet your interest is piqued, isn't it? I thought that was a good title. Yeah? Okay, good. So there's a joke that's kind of it's a true story, but it's turned into a joke about holiness. Nobody really knows. Well, somebody knows, but nobody's telling where this came from. But often there are new pastors that come up and they have to interview before a board of credentials, right, Cody? Right, James? That interviewing is a lot of fun, let me tell you. And they do quiz you on questions like, what's holiness? So this was a country district and a country pastor, and that's all the more we know about this. But so he was asked by, you know, the district superintendent and the whole board there, and it's all pastors who are, you know, looking at you very carefully, you know, looking down the long end of their nose. And so he goes, well, you know, I came up in Florida, you know, because he's country, you have to. I came up in Florida, and often we would go to the beach. And on the beach, sometimes there were females there in bikinis. And he says, and salvation is kind of like, you see the females in bikinis, and sometimes you might even venture into a lust. That's salvation. Now, holiness is a whole different thing. Holiness is like going to the beach and there being females there, but all you see is their face. And one of the pastors on the port goes, oh, no, oh, Lord, I don't have it. I don't have holiness. And then he goes, and I'm not sure I want it. Yeah. So that's a story to tell you what holiness is not about. But God does call us to be holy, doesn't he? Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Oh dear, we got to clean ourselves up? Let's try. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Now I'm terrified. Anybody with me? I mean, God is holy. And after all, I have read scriptures that talk about great men with good intent who as they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant down through the river, and one man slipped, and one of the soldiers just ran up and threw himself in to catch the holy Ark of the Covenant so it wouldn't drown and it wouldn't be lost to the river. And as soon as he did, goner. I mean, really, he was trying to save the Holy of Holies. Moses was up there on the mountain, and he said, Lord, I want to see you. And God says, hold on just a minute. My holiness could kill you. But tell you what, hide behind that rock, and I'll cover you with my hand, and as I pass by, as my holiness passes by, and then when I'm gone, you can see just the remnants of what passed by. And Moses comes down from the mountain. He's glowing from being in the in the essence, in the remnants of when God passed by. And he's glowing so much that they have to put a cloth over him because he's scaring everybody. I mean, holy, holy, holy. And, you know, I've been reading about some of the priests going into the temple in the Levitical laws. I mean, there are rituals that you have to go through, and there are a lot of them, just so you could go into the temple and be with God and hear a word from God so you can bring it back to the people. And you know what they would do to those priests? They would tie a rope around their ankle and bells on the bottom of their robe. And as you're going in there, you're terrified. So it's jingle, 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 jingle. Why? Because you could die. That's why they tied a rope around you. Because if you died and you did all the rituals, who's going in after you? We'll just pull him on right now. It's almost like the closer you get to holiness, it could be disastrous for you. If I were to think of a metaphor, are you with me? You guys know what metaphors are, right? It's kind of like the sun. The sun emanates heat and light and a gravitational pull for the solar system, and it produces good and wonderful things. In fact, we've even discovered that if we set up these things called solar panels, the sun will energize us and give us electricity. I mean, good stuff. But if you get too close to the sun, I think that's what it sounds like. I don't know. I've not been that close yet. So what hope do we have, right? I mean, he says, be holy. He's so holy. Can't touch this. Oh, sorry. Some of you got that. Some of you sang along, I know. So there was a prophet, Isaiah, and right around the time when King Uzziah died, Isaiah begins to have a vision from the Lord, and he's in the throne room. In this vision, he's in the throne room, and there's angels and seraphim all around he who sits on the throne. Right, because we don't say his name. Because even if we say his name, it's far too holy for us to even say his name, right? He who sits on the throne, and surrounding him are the angels, and they are singing what? Holy, holy, holy. Now, three times, because whenever you write a word, one word's just important enough, but if you say it twice, it has significant meaning. But if you say it three times, and it was reserved for holy, 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 most of the time, it surpasses all significance to an utmost importance, right? And the angels are singing so that the pillars and the posts and the foundations of the throne room are shaking and trembling because their voices are singing out to the Almighty, holy, holy, holy. Just imagine this. And here's Isaiah, and what does he do? He's terrified. He goes, oh, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I am among a people of unclean lips, and I will surely die in the presence of the Holy One. Wouldn't you? I mean, if this was the vision you had? I mean, he didn't do any of the ritual preparations, and he knows, like, when you're in the presence of God, you know you're not holy. You know you don't stack up. Nobody has to come and point out, by the way, you know, 3 weeks ago, you ran a red light. Listen, it's so far beyond that. He knows the depths of where he's at. Are you with me? I wonder if people in the world, when they're in the presence of holiness, know how unholy they are. Or maybe they need reminding. That's just a side note. Just a side note. But what happens is, his deep and darkest fears are made known in the presence of holy, holy, holy Almighty, who was and is and forever will be. And a seraphim comes, and it says the seraphim have six wings, two of which cover their face, two of which cover their feet, and the other two they fly with, goes and takes a hot coal with tongs, comes and touches the lips of Isaiah. And as see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. And what this is a prophetic vision that Isaiah is having. Because what's about to happen is that all of the holiness of the Holy One is about to change, and the holiness now is infecting the sin, not the other way around, as previously thought. Wait, that was huge. I mean, listen carefully. I want you to catch this. You might want to take notes because this is good stuff. You'll need this later in life, like 30 seconds from now. When God's holiness touches you, it's His holiness that cleans you, not your sin that infects God. And then this Jesus character comes around not too long after, and he begins to heal people. Like, wait a minute. He's going and touching lepers. Like, he's touching them. We don't touch those people because we could get what? And there was all sorts of thoughts about blind people, and he begins to heal somebody who was blind from birth. And the question surrounding that was, what did his parents do? Or was it something the boy did? It couldn't be something the boy did because he was born with it. So it had to be something his parents did, that the sin infected the son's life so much that he became blind. I mean, after all, the sins of the father are passed down. As if sin was the infecting instrument. Now, don't get me wrong. Sin can be infectious. Sin can be sneaky. Sin can be obvious. And it can. But sin does not have the last word. Sin does not have the power of the Holy One. Now, listen, yesterday we had a funeral here. And about 80% of the family that were here were black. And when you said something powerful like that, you got a mm-hmm and an amen and a hallelujah. And, you know, and I got to tell you, I think there's something, they got something going there. Am I right, James? I mean, when his mama came a few years ago, and she sat right here, and I got a mm-hmm, I don't know what happened, but the Holy Spirit started moving. So listen, sin does not have the infecting power that holiness does. Listen, this is for you, listen, and me. When God sent His Son, filled with all of His holy presence, here on earth, he began to change things. And it was his life that began to infect all of those around him. I mean, it wasn't just lepers. It was blind children. It was demon-possessed. It was people who've been sick for 12 years and bleeding. It was a lame man who his buddies dropped him down through the roof to get to the Holy One so that he could be touched. And he does. He says, "What are you doing here? Pick up your mat and get out of here." As if it was no big deal, because the Holy One has more power to infect you than sin does. And when God says, "I expect for you to be holy because I am holy," he's going to do the work. Because I've been trying so hard my whole life. You know, I haven't been getting very far. Are you with me? Of course you're with me. I know you're with me. I've been trying to clean myself up so hard. I've been trying to just commit harder. I've been trying to force myself to be so good. And boy, when I mess up, boy, I'm awfully hard on myself. Boy, when I was a teenager, I think every Sunday and Wednesday I was at the altar. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Again. Anybody else? The good news is he has. And he says something like this in 2 Timothy. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. God pours out grace upon grace, mercy upon mercy in our lives, more so than we can possibly imagine, that it makes us holy. It's because he is so full of love, so full of steadfast grace. It's because this is his character. This is who he is. And he says, "This is how I'm going to save the world. Through my Son, whom I give all of my glory and power and honor and presence and holiness." After all, he says, it's him who's going to be sitting on the throne when you get there. And it's him who infects us with his holiness. And so he says, it's time for you to be holy. It's not like a command like I thought it was. Be holy and commit even harder and buckle down and pull yourself up from your bootstraps and make that happen. It's a be holy because I am holy and I am making you holy. If you remember a few weeks ago, we talked about Ezekiel. Well, I'm sorry, I'm getting really excited about this, but I mean, this is... Give me a little coffee, I'll calm down. Ezekiel comes out and he says to the people, "Listen, this is what God says. You are terrible at being my people. I mean, you have profaned my name. You make me look bad. Listen, I have given you every opportunity. I poured out blessing upon blessing, and you have done nothing but profane my name and made me look bad. And so now what I'm going to do is I'm going to make you holy for my name's sake." And the temple, you know, where the Holy of Holies is, now shifts from being a building somewhere to being within us because Jesus did the work. And he says, "Now I can dwell with my people," which has been his goal from the very beginning. It even says so. From the very beginning, doesn't it? He called us to be holy, and he's going to do the work. So you know what? Once he's done the work in you, so Jesus has these guys that kind of follow him around. Well, I don't just follow him around. He called him. He says, you, I'd like you to come with me. And you, I know you like fish, but I'm going to teach you to be fish for men. Come on, come on. Hey, you tax collector, I know you're not thought of very highly, but I think of you in a new way. You'd be so amazed what I can do with you. Come, come on. Follow me. And later in the book of Isaiah, there's another vision that he has, and he's in the temple, in the throne room again. And strangely enough, from where the throne is, water begins to trickle down from the throne, and it begins to come out of down the steps of there and out the temple. And you know, it seemed like just a trickle, but as he went outside, it turned into a stream, which turned into a river, which turned into a raging river, and then began to cover the whole earth. And Jesus says things like, I am the living water. And he brings these guys along, and these guys, they begin to start healing others. He says, listen, I'm going to send you guys out. Once you go in pairs, you guys go that way, you guys go that way, you guys go over there, and I want you to do what I've taught you. You've seen me. I've shown you. You've been with me. Go and start healing. Go and be the infection. You guys didn't get excited about it. Tambria got it. Be the holy infection in the world. So it may have started with Jesus and a few, you know, about a dozen guys that started following him around. And it moved into them. And then those guys began to touch others. And then there began to be miracles. Have you guys ever read Acts? There were miracles that happened, and the church just exploded as if it trickled from the temple, the Holy One, and made a stream into a few guys, and then made a raging river with a few more. If you ask me, I think it's still waiting for the infection to become global. I might even back up a little bit. We're still working on the river. Well, shoot, let's just start with surprise. It's dry here. I bet you surprise could really use some living water, some holy water. And it just starts with a few people are wholly infected by the holiness of God. And Jesus said, listen, you're going to do even more amazing things than I have done. And that has troubled me over the years. Anybody else? I think that the holiness of God and our understanding of it, you know, if I was going to try and thwart a great idea, I'd try to change the idea of what the idea was. You know what I mean? Like if I told you holiness was a strong commitment, if I told you holiness was only seeing her face, if I told you holiness was you just buckle down and do it, you might get the idea that I'm a failure because I can't buckle down and get it done. It's because I'm not holy. The holiness has to come from the Almighty. It has to come from the source. And the source is God who says, I am going to make you a holy people. I'm going to do it for my name's sake. Right? And if we are a people who serve God Almighty with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then we had better be a holy people and start acting like it. Because now I know that I didn't do the work. God did it in me. And so that changes how I respond. Let me tell you what God did in me. It's an amazing work. And He can do the same in you. See, that's really the simplicity of what the gospel is, right? He who did a great work in me is able to complete it in you. Who's that, Philippians? He who began a good work. So now, what's the challenge? I have been made clean. So I'm going to be renewed by the transformation of my mind to understand that I am God's child, holy and precious to Him. And because I have been made holy, I have within me the infective power. It's not me, of course, right? It's not you, of course. It's He who is in me. There used to be an old song that went that way. Be a holy people, sent into the world by God to be infectious. That is our calling. Let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, open my eyes to see You. Open our eyes to see You. Lord, open our hearts to receive You. Lord, as You make us holy, may we be a holy people called unto Your world to spread the love, the grace, and the holiness that You pour out upon us into the world around us. May this holiness infect our friends, our neighbors, all those whom we come in contact with. May we be a holy people set aside for Your purpose, altogether different than the world around us, that infects the world around us, I pray. And Lord, as I pray it, may You find us a holy people who are called by Your name to humble ourselves and pray and seek Your face. And when we do that, You will make the change. Amen.